You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Now, as many of you know, we are ending, finally, our series entitled Behind the Scene. And the whole heart and spirit of the series is to teach you the power of the Holy Spirit, that there is so much that you and I really cannot achieve, cannot do apart from Him. And the journey began in the book of Acts, and we've looked at a lot of those, but I'm going to be basically summarizing the last 3 weeks. And you've listened to Pastor Christian, who started and kicked off the series with the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, the same Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago that empowered the disciples and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles and the early disciples is the same Holy Spirit here and now today. And that the Holy Spirit, I love his illustration. I think, I don't even remember where I was. I was somewhere in the world. I think I was in Israel or somewhere when I heard him talk about the dunamis power, the explosive power that when you're trying to mine and you use a pick and a shovel, it takes so long. But when you have the Holy Spirit, he breaks through fallow ground. He breaks through caves and rocks and formations and causes you to have a greater breakthrough than using just your own strength and energy. Further, he says, no one is too insignificant to be touched and used by him. I believe this is Joseph's message. No one is too insignificant to be touched and used by him. No task is too mundane for the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at no person is too unreachable because of the Holy Spirit. And finally, last week, I summarized the Holy Spirit persuades, delivers, and transforms. Today, we continue and land this series. And I pray that you would learn to tap into the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit every day of your lives. And I hope that this final message will encourage you to do so. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, there's no reference to the Holy Spirit, but we do know that the book of Acts is filled with the acts of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says God was doing extraordinary. It says God. Everybody say God. It wasn't Paul doing the extraordinary miracles. It was God. Just don't forget that. And when God does things, and for us, all the things we did last week, yes, we did those, but it wasn't us. It was God doing it through us. And when we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't just do things for God. We do extraordinary miracles. Things that you and I are incapable of, things that you and I do not have any chance of succeeding in, we have when we obey him, when we follow him, when we walk in his will, and we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, it says, by the hands of Paul. He uses our hands. I saw this Instagram of Pastor Steve. He was in Apari welcoming Pastor Ferdy in the last 15 kilometers? He flew out of Manila to make sure that Pastor Ferdy made it. I think I don't know if you understand this, 2,200 kilometers is a long run. I mean, running 50 kilometers every day at the age of 50. And Pastor Steve had his selfie right there. He's right there at the corner. Is his bald head. And the only thing he did to prepare for this race was put suntan lotion on his head. But there he was. You know what was powerful was not really about the run. It was what the mayors would say. And the whole town would come out. And the guy would preach on a Sunday. And people would actually get saved. It was actually rather ridiculous. There was a British team that was following him in this 50-day run. They were following him because they're going to do a documentary on it. That this pastor would stop in the town and take a shower and the next day go to church and preach. And people will get saved. And then run another 50 kilometers the next day. And for 5 days he will do this, 6 days rather. And then stop in another town. This is insane. What's extraordinary really is not the run. It's the number of people that got saved in this run. It's rather ridiculous. But you see, that's who God is. He wants to move for you. And it's not Pastor Ferdy just. He wants to move through you. By the way, the Apostle Paul at the time was not the Apostle Paul. He was a tent maker. He was nobody. He was one guy in Ephesus. Sometimes we read the Apostle Paul and we think the guy was and born that way. No, no, no. He started out that deal. That wasn't who he was. It was a progressive growing. And then throughout the week, I was looking at Rice Heart, produced in the Philippines, the vast majority of the songs written here. And then I saw that this last week, we made it to number one on iTunes Philippines. I wonder what Justin Bieber was thinking that we beat him. It's actually rather ridiculous, isn't it? When you start thinking about the things that we do, and I'm not saying this to brag or to make us proud. I'm saying this because of the verse I just read to you. When you start tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, when you start saying, God, I'm for you and not against you. God, I love you. God, I'm going to obey you. God, I choose to glorify you. God, I choose to walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit. He's able to do things for you. Amen? Acts chapter 19, verse 12. So that even the handkerchiefs and the aprons that had touched the skin were carried away to the sick and to their diseases and left them. And the evil spirits came out of them. Powerful. Ordinary stuff. Sometimes we look for and I know there are abuses. There are people who wipe handkerchiefs and sell them. We don't do that. I think this verse is not talking about that. I think this verse is simply telling us that ordinary things can be used by God. And if he can use ordinary things, then he can use ordinary people. And not only does he use them, he gives them power to drive spirits. Earlier, I mentioned to you about the Real Life National Scholarship Conference. I'm amazed at where our staff get the money, because I know there's not a lot of money. And even the money that Pastor Ferdy raised for us to transport 275 scholars, feed them for a week, billet them. And this is our staff. This is the real staff of Real Life. This is it. This is the staff that run it. Judges, can you quickly stand up and wave to everybody? There's one guy in our team here at the floor. We've got one guy here. These are the guys that run this with very little logistics. But you know the impact. And please, whenever you see these guys, just hug them. Just encourage them. These are people. Georgie was an executive for a company and quit his job to do this. Linda Wata was our national director. She was an executive. She was the Canadian executive who quit her job to do this. And I'm not saying that to make you guilty. Stay in your job, make as much money, and let's keep doing this. Amen? I'm just trying to tell you the power of the Holy Spirit, that you don't need a lot. You just need people who want to partner with him. In the National Scholarship Conference, the worship was so deep. When you understand, these guys, some of these guys don't have food to eat. Now, I'm not giving you a melodramatic moment here. I'm just making you understand when you're around these kids, worshiping God, tapping into his power, believing there's hope, watching them really pray. I mean, really pray. God, make me finish this race. I love the moment when I was preaching to them about their dreams. And I was telling them, do not dare stop dreaming. And that's the whole point of why they were here. I was telling them about David, who was just a cheese bearer, in all likelihood a bastard son, the youngest of the flock, who didn't have any hope and didn't have any chance. I was telling them this. And I began to pray for their dreams. And there was a moment where each of these kids were writing their dream. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a doctor. And the power of that. And the Holy Spirit permeating that moment. God is able to use us. And you don't have to be in church or work as staff. You can do this wherever you are. This can happen to your own family. This can happen at your office. The Holy Spirit can move through you. Don't stop him. Don't grieve him. Move with him. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. This is in Ephesus, by the way. This whole story is happening there, where Ephesus is a modern city. I just came from there. It's huge, one of the biggest archaeological finds they've found. A lot of witchcraft, a lot of worship, a lot of prostitution. It's a bad city. And the gospel was about to hit this city big time and invoke the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits. And there were these itinerant Jewish leaders. These are traveling preachers, if you may. And they came to the city and they started casting out demons. And they were trying to use and invoke the name of Jesus. It's one thing to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. It's another thing to know the Lord Jesus. You know, when you just use the name of the Lord Jesus, but you don't really know him, you can get into trouble for that. Over those who had evil spirits saying, I adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Obviously, they didn't know Jesus because they were saying, they're talking to the demons and saying, I'm casting you out, but in the name of Jesus whom I don't know, but Paul knows. That's really what they're praying. It's rather ridiculous, isn't it? There's no power in it. Now, further in verse 14, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. These guys were, number one, there was a lot of them. I need you to understand something about the power of the Holy Spirit. He does not need a lot. He don't need seven people to cast out evil spirits. It's not numbers. The power of the Holy Spirit is not about sons. You don't have to be Joey Boniface's son, Steve Merle's son, so-and-so pastor's son. That's not how this works. It's not about your religious position either. It's your faith in Jesus. It's your trusting and moving with him. It's you not grieving him. It's walking in righteousness. It's obeying his word. But these seven sons of this Jewish high priest were invoking the name of Jesus and trying to cast out demons. And in the week, I was looking at this class. This was our class. I was teaching on demonic activity. And I was teaching these young people, do not be afraid of casting out demons. I don't know if you understand this. When our campus missionaries go on campus, they encounter all kinds of demonic activity. People with schizophrenia, people with depression. And we were training them last week. Here's how you fight that. And here's how you trust. And you look at these guys. They're all, look at this. They don't, how many of you don't see, they don't really look like they're supernatural superheroes. My class on the new building, by the way, our new building is phenomenal. We had different classes. We had one classroom. We finally inaugurated it, and our campus missionaries had one classroom on learning how to blog and how to manage, use social media. And my class was full. It was a class on how to cast out demons. And I've been involved in demon casting. I remember one time, this is an interesting story. One time, Pastor Manny and I, early days, I think Pastor Joel remembered this, we were casting out a demon out of this guy, and for half a day, the demon won't come out. And the guy was screaming, ah, ah. So everybody in our office, we had a tiny office then, was just horrified. And finally, one of our pastors arrived, and in those days, we didn't have air conditioning, so Bishop Manny and I were both sweating there and casting out this demon. It won't get. And the guy's name was Joey. How many of you know if you're Joey and the guy has a demon, that, Joey, I cast you. How many of you, that's hard. We're trying to cast out this demon, and this guy peeks in and says, what's going on? And he just ventured in. And then as he ventured in, he heard all the screaming. He heard all the screaming at the back, and he walked out to the back and started knocking. What's going on, guys? What's going on? Oh, we can't cast out. We're all both very tired now. Joey won't cast out. He says, you guys get out first. I'll take care of this. So he locks the door, and he starts looking at this guy. And then about 10, 15 minutes later, the demon was cast out. And he opened the door and says, Joey, you can go home now. And this guy was not even a pastor. He was one of our members. And so we were so, what did you do? How did you cast the demon out? He said, when I walked in, and he goes, he was going like this. That I discerned the guy was acting and getting you guys tired. So what did you do? I said, Joey, you're acting. This was in Tagalog. You're acting, okay? Stop acting. So what did you do? I slapped him in the face. And then he said, Joey, I can discern you. You're acting. Okay? Stop acting. I'm good already. Discernment. We've got to teach people how to discern. Amen? It's not all just mystical. I don't know if you have a problem with that. For the sake of the man's safety, because now he's one of our missionaries, we won't mention his name here. But the point is, we had a class. We're believing God that we can push back the darkness. The gospel is not just logic. The gospel is not just the message. The gospel is power. The Word of God has power. The Holy Spirit has power. And He wants to set people free and He wants to deliver. Acts chapter 19, verse 15. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you?" I don't know who you guys are. You don't even know who Jesus is. I remember the early days, Pastor Steve's, one of Pastor Steve's stories on demonic activity. I think this happened in Mississippi State. He was a new pastor. And there was this young girl, petite young girl, that started manifesting demonic things. And they were trying to cast out this thing from her. And they were rebuking this demon, and they were casting out this demon. And the demon turned around. The woman turned around and started to speak in a man's voice. And she said, and at this time, they were all new at this. And this girl basically said, "Do you really want me to come out of here and jump on you and possess all of you?" And they all said, these are all ministers, said, no, just stay where you are. Don't get out of there. Okay. Don't move. There's a growing up in God. There's a seriousness. If we want to see the fullness of God's power in our lives, there's a devotedness. Not a lot of these questioning, and there's a place where I just stop questioning and start operating in the power of God. Now, Acts verse 16, and the man whom was had this evil spirit, I guess they knew this in their Bible, master leaped on them. And imagine this one guy leaps on seven guys and mastered all of them, overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This guy stripped them all. First time I've ever, Pastor Steve and I, we were planting a church in Singapore. That's not our current church. This was early days. We were journeying together. We were planting a church in Singapore. We were staying in this tiny little room. And all of a sudden, this guy manifested. And we started rebuking the demon and started praying for him. And all of a sudden, his tongue came out. It went all the way here. It was supernatural. It's just, and the two of us make, ugh. And we had to pretend like we knew what we were doing because all the new disciples were looking at us. And so Pastor Steve was going like this. I guess he remembered the old story. And I was prideful enough to pretend like I wasn't afraid. I had goosebumps in my nails. And I started cursing this demon and binding him and everything I knew and praying in tongues. And then his hands did not curl like this. It curled this way. And then we just battled on through and invoked the name of the power of God and discernment. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit showed me this man was raped by men. And I rebuked that. The violence, the vileness, the evil. And just stench. This guy was popping from... farting from behind him, it's his bad breath, everything came out. He fell on the floor and he was delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for him. Never saw anything like that. We had to do it in the room where we were going to sleep. I tell you the truth, we slept with the lights on that night. And we stayed so far from each other, blessed before we ended up hugging each other because of fear. We were growing up in God. But some of you in this room, you need to take this thing seriously. There's things that God wants to do for you and in you, but there's unrighteousness. There's sins. There's a tentativity. There's issues. You just cross the line, folks. Are you going to live for Jesus or are you going to play games? I remember there was a guy that bombed the Manila Garden. This was during martial law days, after that, just during the revolutions. This guy put a car bomb in what is now Nikko Hotel, and he bombed that thing. He bombed the rear side door. I mean, you guys that are my age remember that. And the guy got saved in our church in Makati, and we were discipling him. And one day he said, you know what, I need to tell you the truth, because now that I'm a Christian, I need to tell you, I'm the guy that bombed that hotel. How many of you know? And so I think it was Michael Paderas and I. We were casting out a demon out of this guy because he was violent. And the demon just picked him up and threw him at the back. But at that point, we already knew the power of the Holy Spirit. That God has power and he can deliver. And by the way, it's not Joey or Michael or Steve. We were just as scared. It's Joey, Michael, and Steve that grew up, that decided we're going to trust God. We're going to believe his word. We're going to operate in his power. We're not going to doubt him. Now, here's what happens. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus. In other words, the word broke out in this major city. Both the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks were the Athenians. These were the Athenians. These were the bright boys. And it broke out. I mean, it broke out to the Jews, the religious, and the smart guys in society. It broke out. But get what the result was. And fear fell upon them all. The fear of the Lord. Many times, the reason why you don't see the fullness of God in your life is because you're more afraid of your friends, of what people will say, of the world, than you are afraid of who God is. The fear of the Lord is good for you. It's about time somebody actually preached the fear of the Lord and not a lot of grace. There's good grace. Grace is great, but when all you eat is one thing and you don't eat the whole thing, you're going to be in trouble. There is such a thing as the fear of the Lord. And the power of God shows up. The fear of the Lord comes. And when the fear of the Lord comes, you know what happens? The name of Jesus was extolled. Do you know why sometimes the name of Jesus is not extolled in our lives? Because we live sinful lives as believers, compromised lives that really show people that we don't have the fear of God. And as a result, his name is not extolled. I think Pastor Christian preached here on the first week, a member of our church who now is our missionary to Pakistan. Pakistan is a dangerous nation to preach the gospel in. You can get killed there for this. Here you won't. There you will be. I remember his story when he was saying he was preaching to this room. There was a room of about 30 or 40 people. And he was standing there. And he kept saying, God, God, God. He was afraid to say the name of Jesus for fear that he might be stoned. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hits him. And the Holy Spirit basically says, stop saying God, say my name. And he began to proclaim the name of Jesus. And he said the reason why he did that was because he feared God more than he feared his death. And as soon as he said that, miracles started to happen. I think there was a deaf and mute lady who started to speak. Just in front, people started getting saved. This is very recent. When we fear God more, we're going to see the name of Jesus extolled. When we fear God more, we're going to see results. When we start using our heads and start trusting in our abilities and our limitations, we're going to be in trouble. It's the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 19, verse 18, also many of those who were now believers, how many of you know these are believers, started confessing and divulging their practices. There's so many people who are believers, but they don't fear God enough to confess and divulge their practices, their sins. These were believers. And yet they were living licentious lives. They were living compromised lives. This verse says that the fear of God dropped so hard upon them, they realized this is not religion. This is not a game. This is a reality. This is serving God. And they began to confess. Some of you, there's issues that you need to confess. When they began to divulge their practices. I'm going to stop doing this thing now. I'm going to quit this. Now, Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't hate evil, if you don't have a fear of God, I have such a fear of God that certain things I don't watch, certain movies I don't go to. If I accidentally see things on the internet, I get so grieved and so repentant because I have a fear of God. I do. I'm so afraid of God that He can see me and He can see my heart and He can see my motives. It scares me to stand up here. It's good for you to have a fear of God. Fear of the Lord will make you hate evil. If you don't hate evil, it's probably because you don't fear God. How many of you are glad you came today? It's about time. Too many Christians are just saying, you know, that can do. No, no, that's not church. This is church. This is the early church. This is why the church spread. This is why the church grew. Psalm 119 says, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. The word turn is repentance. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. That word turn is to draw away. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. The fear of the Lord is good for you. It will make you turn your heart toward His statutes. The fear of the Lord will make you turn your eyes away from things you shouldn't be looking at. The fear of the Lord will preserve your life. The fear of the Lord is your ticket to seeing God fulfill His promises in your life. Chapter 19, verse 19, and the number of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them. This was a big thing in the city. These are the magicians, the sorcerers, those who had practiced all of these magic arts. They brought all their books together and burned them. In the sight of all. In other words, the city was watching this. All these weirdos and all these great guys, these Athenians and Jews, they came together, brought their books, and burned it all in the sight of everybody and said, this is over. And the amount of money they burned that day, the value they found was 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a heck of a lot of money. And said, it's not worth it. I love this story of Tony Chan. Tony Chan is an interesting fellow. He's a billionaire. He became a billionaire because of feng shui. He's actually a feng shui master, and all he does is do feng shui for wealthy people. He's a Hong Kong-based Chinese, and he made billions of dollars, not millions, billions of dollars by doing feng shui. And then he became a Christian. I'm going to read this to you. Ex-feng shui master accepts Christ, calls Chinese geomancy devilish. Hong Kong's Tony Chan Chun, a famed feng shui master, has renounced Chinese system of geomancy as devilish and became Christian after reading the Bible. He was baptized this week. He changed his name to Peter Chan. That's good, not Peter Pan. Just to be safe. Chan was baptized by Pastor Lam Yik Lok at the Crossroad Community Baptist Church in Tsing Yi Island in Hong Kong on Tuesday, South China Morning Post reports. This is the happiest day of my life. In my life, I felt like getting married, and I could tell everyone that I am a Christian, he was quoted as saying during his private baptism, attended by 70 friends and relatives, including his wife, Tam Myung Ching. Chan's wife testified that she has been seen changes in him after his conversion. He has changed, becoming quieter. How many of you, he's a feng shui, but he's irritable. Quieter, happier, and less agitated. She was quoted as saying, we are more harmonious now, and as he is spending more time with the kids. That's, by the way, guys, you men in this room, that's all your wife really wants. Be a nice guy. Open the door for her. Hold the elevator. Pull the chair. Don't eat ahead of her. Worse, don't get her food. Bring her out on a date. Kiss her. It's very simple, and most of all, take care of the kids and change his diaper, and you're going to have all the things you want. It's that simple. Now, he continues. This guy, billionaire, and throws everything away. God opens a door for him. Chan, who made billions by providing feng shui services to rich people, stands trial next month on charges of forging. This is about 4 years ago. Of the late billionaire Ning Wang Kung, she was just one of the richest women in the world. He spent years battling to get hold of her fortune. She died of cancer. Anyway, the 43, in other words, basically, he got into trouble. And here's how the Holy Spirit moved. Okay? Let me read to you. Chan recently told a gathering of Christians that his past was complete crap and has flushed to be flushed away. Feng Shui, an ancient Chinese belief system based on harnessing natural and spiritual energies, he said is fake. Some of you in this room, you're practicing this. Some of you need to have a fear of the Lord. Even you up there. He says, only in Christ is true. If feng shui turns out to be true, it's only the devil playing tricks. You have to be especially careful if they come true because they're creating such effects. The devil's motive is to lure people towards him, the Standard quoted him saying. Chan told commercial radio this week that his life began to change March last year when his Christian driver. You don't have to be a superstar, baby. You just have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and love God enough to be bold to preach to your billionaire boss that Christ lives. And that you need his power. That's all you need. And change will happen. Darkness will flee. But it's when Christians sit tight here looking just to get comforted and guilt-free and walk away and feel good and never walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing changes. Amen? As I close, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, he will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When you fear the Lord, you're going to have a sure foundation for your times. If your foundation's not sure, it's most likely because you don't have a fear of God. If you fear the Lord, you're going to have a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The book of Acts, chapter 19, the story closes in verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of the Lord will increase and prevail as his people begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. As his people begin to have a fear of God and stop playing games. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do miracles. The Holy Spirit instills the fear of the Lord in us. And the Holy Spirit causes God's word to increase and prevail mightily. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Shirabaka, Chabakita. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. There are some of you, God's literally giving you, some of you are literally seeing. Can you look up here for a minute? As soon as I closed my eyes, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, he's giving you a go signal. Somebody just saw a stop sign. It was just, there was three stop signs, red, yellow, and green. It was all green. And I feel like the Lord's saying, it's green for you. Just jump in. Green for you. Stop playing games. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to cause you to do things that are wild and amazing and adventurous. And I'm going to empower you. Amen? Yes. It's green. It's time to go. It's not time to stop. It's not time to be cautious. It's time to go. It's time to jump in, okay, and tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Move. He's going to use you. He's going to use you to your employees, your people, your friends, your relatives, your family. But start, okay, and stop. There's certain things you have to stop. There's certain things you have to burn. There's certain things you just have to cut and say, enough. I'm not living this way. That's the reason why the blessing is not happening. Amen? Just close your eyes. Lift up your hands towards heaven. God, Holy Spirit, pour yourself upon us afresh. God, we receive you. Let your miracle and your powers flow through us, Lord. Whether it's writing songs, whether it's preaching, whether it's testifying, whether it's seeing the sick healed, whether it's just simply helping our children with their math. God, whatever it is, God, there's nothing too small for you. You are our God. The God who said, I will give you power. Dunamis power. Father, I pray that you put a holy fear of you in us. To revere you, to love you, to acknowledge that apart from you, Lord, this life is a waste. Lord, we realize, Lord, that where you did not give us the spirit of timidity and fear. And Father, that fear comes from not having a fear of you. But you've given us the spirit of power, of love, and a good mind, Lord, a self-discipline to say no to unrighteousness. And God, we trust, Holy Spirit, that as you do that upon us, your word will increase. Your word will prevail mightily in our land, in our lives, in our homes, in our nation, and across the world. Lord, let it be a growing up of your disciples this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.